ready to get and stay fit? Welcome to Fit Positive Confident with Dr. Gordon, where the focus is on your whole person health, physical, mental, and spiritual. Because your health can be affected by so many factors, Dr. G covers a range of topics in this program, from eating healthy to world-shaping events. So relax and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. This is Fit Positive Confident, and today is a special show because it's close to my heart, and I wanted to talk to you about this. And this topic is so controversial out there. It's one of the most controversial topics in an election year, and that's the immigration. Some people call it illegal immigration. Some people call it invasion. And people call it all kinds of things. And I know one thing. I know that people get super hot about this and hot and bothered and upset and, you know, get into fights and all of that stuff. So I wanted to do this interview with Eloisa, who is not only a good friend of mine, but also a person in my church. And for those of you who don't know, I pastor a church, Arvada Adventist Church in Arvada, Colorado. And Eloisa came to me some time ago and said she started, did you tell me that you started working with Venezuelan immigrants, or how did that whole thing go? I forget, I'm getting old.
I just started by somebody had said about what was going on with the Venezuelans being here. It was mentioned at church. Me and Jonna just got a wild hair.
Jonna is your friend.
Yes. And so she was like, let's go check this out and see what's going on. When we went, we saw women, children, men.
So was this before or after I have gone there with somebody else?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah. This was, I think it was either November, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Maybe even earlier. Yeah. And so we just happened to make a left turn, and we ended up around this roundabout, and there was about 60 to 70 tents with children and women and men, and just, it was shocking to see because I'm not used to that. Our homeless is usually men and women. We don't usually see little kids running around and...
Well, yeah. So, for people who don't know, the whole context here, at our church, we have a ministry for the homeless people. Mm-hmm. That has been going on for a long, long time, and we do feed, you know, food and clothing, and oftentimes we try to provide medical care with friends of ours who are either nurses or doctors. Mm-hmm. So this kind of started. This kind of is connected to that.
Yes, it was.
But it's a little different.
Yeah, we like to feed those that are in need and get what the supplies that they need. And so Street B, one of our guys runs it and tells us where we're going to go, what we're going to feed and all that. That is how that conversation came up, is where the need was most. And that's when we found out where those tents were.
A lot of times we will work with outfits like Salvation Army or one of the shelters. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll just go out there on our own and go under the bridge and deal with whatever is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we went down there to under the bridge, and there was I think it was about 80 people in 60 tents. And
when you say tents, we're talking about tarps.
Yeah, tarps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And storage blankets as beds.
Okay. Yes.
And when we turned and they saw us, they kind of ambushed us, like, hey, we need help, we need food, we need this, we need that. And my Spanish is limited, but I understood enough to know that they were in need. And then that was when it started. That was when, and we went unprepared. We didn't have anything with us. We just went to go look for them. We went home, couldn't sleep. We're trying to figure out how to help. And then we started just like buying stuff from the store.
Was there anything there that kind of really pushed your emotions?
Oh yeah, a lot of things. A little boy walked up to me in sandals, and it was snowing.
We're talking about Denver.
Yes.
And the winters here can get pretty nasty cold.
Mm-hmm. All of the men that I saw at that time only had on t-shirts, shorts, and sandals. like flip-flops.
So when they came to the southern border, they were basically sent to Denver, right?
Yeah. So I believe the way that everybody's explaining it to me is that they got to go to the, I believe it was like the embassy or something like that, and they got a bus ticket, and they got to choose four cities like New York, Chicago, Denver, Colorado, such and such. And so certain ones picked certain places, and then they were put on a bus sent here. But they were just dropped off.
Okay.
Downtown.
Downtown Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly place, though.
I know.
If you have a lot of money.
Yeah, depends.
Yeah.
So it was kind of horrible for them, you know. They also came, it took them a long time to get here. It took them, I think it was about 3 to 4 months. They also went through a jungle that took, I think it was a week going through this jungle, then ended up at the Mexican border, then ended up on the bus in Texas, then ended up here.
Yeah, well, you know, I did not realize, stupid me, I mean, I always thought there would be like a highway going from America all the way down to Buenos Aires or Rio de Janeiro, you know.
Yeah.
There is actually a place between the continents where there is nothing. You can't cross. The only way you can cross is by walking through the jungle.
Mud,
no roads, water. No nothing. Amazing that in this hemisphere, we don't have a highway connecting the two continents.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
So it was a struggle for them to get here. So you go home, and you can't sleep.
Nope. And I have a feeling that I kind of let this happen because I was praying one time, and I was like, I can't go overseas to go preach the gospel to people. And then so, you know, God has a sense of humor with me, so he just kind of was like, okay, you can't go, but how about I just bring the country of Venezuela here to you? You know? Sure. So that kind of stuck in my head, and so I was just like, got up the next day and we put some stuff together. Me and Jonna put some stuff together and then went down there and then talked to them about what their needs were. And the number one thing, we had shoes, we had clothes, we had food. What else did we get? A few things. And they didn't really care too much. They were just like, work. So all I heard was, we want work. Just give us work and we'll take this stuff, but we need work. And that was their main focus.
And, you know, we don't have the government is not doing anything about it. I mean,
they have. I wouldn't say they haven't because, I mean, the hotels that they're staying in now are government issued.
No, I mean, as far as
providing anything?
Providing, like, work or leads or...
I think it's just...
Some kind of a system, you know.
No, I think just as much as we're shocked that it's happening, I think so is our government. I have family that works in the government and... They have said, you know, you got to just, paperwork is really bad.
Unprepared.
Yeah, unprepared, paperwork. Nobody thinks that you're just one day going to wake up and the president signs something and says, boom, here you go, come on in, you know. I would be unprepared if my family member showed up at my house in the middle of the night. So I could see that happening just in a bigger scale here with this stuff.
And this obviously immediately turned into this huge political debate.
Definitely. Definitely. There's sides. People are really harsh about it. Some people are very open. Me and Jonna had gotten a little bit of lashback from friends and family because they're like, oh, you know, they're using our tax dollars. What about our homeless? Well, we were taking care of our homeless at the time. Homeless, you know? And so it's kind of like, well, I am doing that, but like you're complaining, but you're not doing either one. You know? So I had some few things to say about that before. And so it came out to where we had to just, you know, not be offended, basically what Paul says. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be offended because what's in somebody's heart to do something is in their heart to do it. I can't blame them if it's not. And so we kind of got overwhelmed. That's when I was like at a loss. I spent a lot. Jonna, we tapped out. We didn't have any more money to do certain things or we didn't know how to help no more. And I was just like, what do we do? And
what did your husband say?
He stayed out of it. He was like, you tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it.
He was supportive.
He was supportive. He was supportive with whatever I needed.
And Jonna's husband as well.
Yes, yes. They're very supportive. They're very supportive. Yeah. So.
But the point came where you just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Not on your own.
Yeah. We have full-time jobs. We have a family. We have kids. We have other things that we're involved in, you know, it was overwhelming. You know, we thought we were the only two doing it until one day when we popped in. It was about 3 days later, we popped in and there was a lady serving food. And we're like, oh, hey, you know, are you with anybody? Or are you just doing this? No, just me. And then it's just us. And then all of a sudden, like literally within 3 weeks, we found out that there's a mom's group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so I got connected with them and found out there's like 8,000 people helping.
All right. We're going to take a quick little break and come back and continue listening to this fascinating story. Did I quit too early? Looks like it.
I wasn't supposed to.
It's all good. I wasn't paying attention to the clock because the story is so gripping. Yeah. Well, so you are, so tell me what happened next. You come to a point where you and your friend Jana, you're helping people, you're trying to, you're probably dealing with moms with kids, and they have more special needs, right?
Yes, definitely.
Different kind of food for the kids and so on, right?
Uh-huh, yep. Schooling. I mean, these kids are all of all ages, and they are being, you know, misplaced, and, like, they don't have very many resources. They don't know the language. They are just dropped off in the middle of nowhere to them. And so that's where we come in as a community. You know, we've got to, like, to us, we were like, let's join forces with all the other people that are helping just – I mean, we didn't know anybody or anything, and we just kind of came together and started evolving.
So where did God lead you from that point of where you figured you couldn't do it by yourself anymore? Where did you go from there?
He sent me to you. He's like, yeah, like we had fasted one of the days, and I was unsure of what resources I had. And so I had talked to another friend and a family member, and my family member also is a pastor, and they were explaining to me what you guys can do and where you guys can work with me. And he just told me to reach out. He was like, you never know, and I'm not that type of person. So when me and Jonna were doing this, we had told our families what we were doing. Our families are nice just giving us stuff, right? But to come out and ask somebody, it was really hard on us, like really hard. That phone call I made to you was stressful.
Why? You've known me for a long time.
I don't know. It's just like, because I see what you do here, and then there's other things going on, and I know that. And so it was kind of hard to just, you know, ask for more help, you know? And so it turned out good, obviously.
Yeah, we were able to at least contribute a little bit in resources.
A lot. Word of mouth was huge. I have people calling me. The resources are out there. I'm learning them for these people. I'm teaching them. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a blessing.
So our church here, our Adventist church, you know, I think, I don't know if people know, but we do a lot of stuff. For example, when there is a hurricane in Florida, that will take truckloads of...
Drove them down.
Yeah, take it down there and help people who have just lost all of their homes.
Yes.
So we had a bunch of supplies already saved up for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want us to go over that because there might be other people out there who may want to help out with this.
Yes.
But we're talking toothpaste, soap, deodorant, aspirin.
Clothes, food. Everything. Yeah, it's been a lot of help. We have the food bank here at the church. That's been helping a lot. A lot of these people some of them have been placed in homes out of the kindness of somebody else's heart, has helped them get into their homes. And so we just kind of put together some boxes, drop off, you know, a few boxes to them. They've learned. And another thing I want to stress is like how a lot of people think that they're like living off of a system. They can't apply for anything. They don't have paperwork. They can't be on our systems. They're not getting Medicaid and food assistance unless it's a food bank.
So this is a misconception out there.
Very huge.
That our government is paying for everything.
Yeah, they're not.
Well, what are they paying for? They did pay for motels or whatever.
About a month to 2 months of housing them in three different hotels off of Tower Road, one off of 6th Avenue. And this is big money for those hotels.
So the government leased those hotels.
Yes.
And then they were putting how many families per room?
Two families per room. And these are rooms that, you know, it doesn't have a room. It's just like a hotel. You walk in, there's two beds right there when you walk in, and then a bathroom, and some of them have small closets. None of these had kitchenettes.
So some of these rooms, you had seven, eight people in there
kids and everybody. Some of them more.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's what the government paid for. But then the government ran out of money, didn't they, at least in Colorado?
Yes. They pulled funds from a lot of places to do that. You know,
because the other alternative was that all of these people were going to be out on the street.
Yes, where they were in the beginning, right? And so they put them in these hotels, and then what happens is the money runs out, and so now they're back.
Now the people are back.
Yes.
At least now we are in March, and it's not minus 20 degrees
anymore. Yes, thank goodness, yes. So that's a blessing. And now they're more aware that 2 months in those hotels did do them some good, because what happens is people like me and John, and there's 8,000 of them out there, going and helping these people learn resources, learn shelters, learn, you know, where to get work. And doing.
Who are these 8,000 people that you're talking
just
about?
Just moms, dads, and random people.
Just regular Americans?
Yep. The communities, Highlands Moms, people in Lakewood, all over the place, Arvada, people in our church. One of our church members took in a family.
Right, right.
You know, so like those, it's just like word of mouth, you know, through all these people. If somebody seen somebody on the side, they called me, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. And I saw this family and she was devastated. All of a sudden she started taking care of this family. You know, and so it's like, if people could do that, that'd be very nice, you know.
Well, you know,
get them going.
I'm an immigrant, but when we immigrated to the United States, we already had cousins and relatives here. Which they don't. So for us, it was hard, obviously. But you know, me and my mom stayed with her brother, my uncle, for the first year until we got our feet on the ground, you know. But these people have nobody.
Yes, nobody, literally.
So it's very encouraging to hear that 8,000, at least that you're aware of. So are there? Can they be looked up online? Some of these groups.
Yes, they can. So there's three Facebook groups. So these are through Facebook. If people don't use Facebook, it'll be hard to help or to look into it. So the first one is Highlands Moms and Neighbors Active Migrant Support. The second one is I-70 and Pecos Venezuelan Migrant Support. The third one is 6th and Federal Venezuelan Migrant Support. So those three are just us communicating within each other on how we're trying to get things to these people, how to get them into housing, how to get them their needs met. That's three.
So you are coordinating between these three organizations.
Yes. And so it's more than 8,000 people. But like say when I'm off of work, I have 2 hours in between two jobs. I will stop. I'll look at one of the pages. And on it, it'll say, anybody got a truck? I need to pick up some food for this people. Take it over here. I happen to have 2 hours in between a job. I say yes. She gives me the address. I go move some stuff for her to the migrant family.
Okay.
In the process, I'm meeting these people. So guess what happens? I actually get to talk to them, find out what kind of work they do. All of a sudden, I got him a ranch hand job.
Nice.
You know, so
you actually got several people jobs.
Yes. There's about six, and then so six male and two female.
Because all these people want to do is work anyway.
That's all they want to do is work, and they're hindered by work permits, and they're not like most immigrants that I've ran into.
Okay.
They're more or less wanting to be legal, do things legal.
Of course.
So they're just on a waiting.
Okay. Sounds good. Look, let's take another break and we'll be right back, folks. All right. This is Fit Positive Confident. This is Pastor Gordon. Annick, and in the studio with me is a good friend of mine, Eloisa, and she is coordinating for my church this ministry to the Venezuelan refugees who have come across the border in the last in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I know that when you turn on your radio, you will hear a lot of talk that's against the immigrants and immigration.
Yes, definitely.
Illegal immigration. So this is a little bit different take, because you are telling me that you have in Denver a group of 8,000 Americans who are helping out all this massive
just Denver
number of people who are here as refugees. I mean, you can call them illegal immigrants if you want to, but their bottom line is they're also refugees.
Yes, definitely they are, and they're very intelligent, highly educated. I help out a professor. Just because they have these kind of jobs down there doesn't mean they can come here and just start, you know, working right away and stuff. So he's a professor. I know a soccer player. He was actually on a team, very well known, and he is here now coaching instead of playing professional soccer. Musicians. I know a nurse. I know a medic. I've gotten into, like, there's a lot of women that have been in the food industry.
Sure.
Where they had their own companies and they were doing like these food organization. I don't remember how it's called. Like, just, you know,
so you have
parties.
Basically, you have a lot of ordinary people who with good skills and good resumes and professional people.
And went to college for it.
And they went to college. So this idea that everybody who's coming across the border is some kind of a gang member and drug dealer.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there are some, right?
Yes, there's bad apples in all of us.
In every society.
Yes, definitely. But the majority of the ones that are coming through right now are just families trying to get away from what's going on and being pushed out. They don't want to leave, like, their elderly out there. They don't want to leave their families out there.
Their mother and father and grandparents.
Those people couldn't do that walk that they had to make.
One thing that really surprised me when I went first to this one place here in Denver under the bridge where there was a whole bunch of these tarps was how many women and kids were in there.
Yes.
Because, you know, me too, I kept hearing this stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, look at the column that's coming across the border and it's all men of military age, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, what's going on here? And then I go there in person to see really who's in there.
Yeah.
And there are men, but, you know, majority of them, I would say 80% of them came with their wives and kids.
And children, yes. That's just how it is. A lot of people, like I said, the misconception is out there about what they're trying to do by being here and stuff. I mean, we can all assume. But if you don't have a firsthand experience with them, you're not going to know. And you're going to assume that it's one way when it's not.
Once you start meeting people, you realize that a lot of them are good people. I mean, we have a number of them that are now coming to church, to our Spanish service church, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them were religious back home, and they're still religious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're definitely. I haven't ran into anybody who's not so far. I'm sure there are some, but I'm. That's one thing. I'm not political about this. I'm not religious about this. I'm called to be Christ-like, not church-like, not, you know, in any kind of thing. I want to walk out what he wants me to walk out and not, you know, do it myself, about myself, or about anything else. So if these people need help, I'm just here to help. I don't need the background on why they're here, what's going on, you know. Other people are here for that. I'm not.
Hey, somebody's freezing and they need a blanket. You got to give them a blanket.
Yeah, I do it. I
mean, it doesn't matter what their status is.
I don't mind. I don't really get into that.
No, I know. I always believe that and I always preach that too, you know, that we got to help people no matter who they are.
Yeah,
no,
you see a need, you fill it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So what's the need at this point?
The need right now, I've noticed, is the community. Just community coming together. I noticed that Denver is overloaded with this situation, and Lakewood actually has had a problem with it. Not wanting, our neighbors don't want to help in the situation. I actually live in Lakewood, And it's kind of disappointing that my community didn't want to open their arms to these people coming through. They're doing a lot of meetings about being against it. That was something that I believe if we could spread it out a little bit, it would help. So Denver doesn't take such a hard hit, you know. Basically put Denver on its knees, and people in Lakewood, Arvada, or Aurora are basically
suburbs
just watching, you know. And so we need.
So you're saying Denver is taking the brunt of it?
Yes, definitely the brunt. I'm not even from Denver, and I can see that that's happening. And so I think as far as our, like, the mayors and stuff like that, I wish they'd open up their hearts a little bit with that situation. The other things are basic needs. Basic needs. You'll see them. They're all over. They're on the street trying to clean your windshield. A lot of people don't want them on their window. To be honest, I don't either. I right away pull out a dollar, and I'm like, don't touch my truck, you know? And they have no idea what I do. You know, I will try to feed them. I'll give them hot hands just hanging out the window real quick. Like, that's very simple.
A lot of people at Home Depot parking lot looking for work.
Yes. Yes, and that is something you can do, is just if you have yard work that needs to be done and you're too busy, you know, stop by, grab one of them. They're very kind. They're very open. There's an app on your phone. Everybody that has an iPhone or any kind of smartphone, there's apps on it for translation. My phone,
sure.
I don't speak. I can speak a small amount of Spanish, but when I'm texting somebody, it goes to them in English and comes back to me in English. On their end, it's in Spanish.
Sure.
So you could get an app if you want to, like, unsure of how to do this. And then, like, the small needs, like I said, just handing something out to them. Getting involved, like, you can call our church, the Arvada Church, and offer help. I don't know where I can help, but if you know somebody that knows where I can help, put them into contact with them. You know,
sure.
Me, one. The big helps are, like, just getting them to understand our resources. You don't have to do anything besides give them some knowledge. If you give them some knowledge, they're very equipped with walking somewhere to go to, like, say, a food bank. But they need to know where they are. They're fine with looking for jobs. And some of them do have work permits, but they don't know how to apply for a job. If people can help with that.
They walk 2,000 miles, so for them to walk 10 miles somewhere is not
a big deal for them, definitely. They are not shy at any of that. They actually know the bus system, something I don't know. And they could get to you pretty quick. Yeah.
And I actually had several of these guys work at the church in the fall because we needed to finish some landscaping and whatnot. And they work hard. They work their butts off.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely good for work and any type. And that's kind of a sad thing is when they're, like, one of my Venezuelan's friends is a electrician, and he's very good at his job. And right now he has to, like, clean yards and, you know, like, do yard work. And it's, like, it's hard to see that on my side, but on his side he's smiling, happy to do it.
Of course.
And these people don't just need help. I mean, there's a lot of people they've helped. Like, we actually had a couple go with us to go feed the homeless at the Salvation Army. And they refused to eat while they were there. And I was like, no, you have to eat. And they're like, well, no, there's all these people, and there's just two of us. I was like, no, that's what we're here for, you know. And so they were like, okay, you know. And then once they were done, they were like, we didn't know America had homeless. I was shocked when they said that when we left. They were like, everybody has this picture of America. Like, some of the migrants were lied to. Oh, if you go to America, you're going to get a house. They'll help you get a house. They'll help you get a car. I was like, no.
You got to work two jobs, buddy.
Yeah, maybe three. Some people work three, you know.
Well, the way the inflation is eating at our money.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. And so a lot of these people don't know those things, and they come here, and just because you take our $100 to Venezuelan, and it turns into, like, to them, it's like thousands of dollars, right? Well, here, they're not understanding, like, if you get $1,000, you also are paying $4,000 in rent. You're
right,
also paying,
right.
You know, $4 a gallon of gas, you know? So it's like, it's something that they have to learn that, you know, America puts out on the news sometimes that it's so great here
They're in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. Oh, very bad.
Because, you know, I think it'll be better for them here than over there.
Oh, definitely.
But still, safer. I mean, it's safer. Not. This is not the paradise that it used to be years and years ago.
No, anything's possible.
Pardon?
Anything's possible, though. I do want to stress that.
But our economy has changed to the point where one person working in the family, that's a dream that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
You know, in the 50s and 60s, yeah. If you had a good job, you could support a family of four.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we got to take a break. All right, back in the studio with Eloisa, and this is a Fit Positive Confident podcast radio show. My name is Pastor Gordon Anik, and we are talking about how we here at this church, Arvada Adventist Church, are helping the immigrants from Venezuela, the refugees. And Eloisa, you're leading out in this ministry. One interesting thing is when you said to all of us that they needed suitcases.
Yes. They are given a lot of clothes, a lot of hygiene products. People are out there really doing a lot for them by giving them things. But suitcases, you know, it's like if you're going to get kicked out of a hotel after the funds run out, they need to be able to keep their stuff. So they put them in suitcases so they can
roll it around.
Yeah.
So you have collected already a whole bunch of suitcases.
Yeah. I stopped counting after I think it was about 500 something.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and at the church, we have more that I just seen today.
We just had a bunch of people bring in more.
Yeah.
I want to say this could be a phenomenal thing for all of you hoarders out there. And you can get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
We'll take your suitcases.
Yes.
We'll take your old clothes. We'll take your old shoes.
Yes.
And we'll give it to people who desperately need it.
Yep. We sure can.
Where do you think this whole thing is going? What do you see? Do you see new people coming in?
Yeah. Yes.
Denver?
Yes, there's new people. I think it's a great thing. I think these people have something to offer us just as much as we have something to offer them.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see they have a lot of joy in them for being in their situation. I had a woman give me a call yesterday, and she had taken in three young men, and their families are still back home, but they do have wives and children. And she took them in, and she told me that her life was boring, very... very lonely.
Mundane.
Yeah, very lonely, and she had no help. She didn't have family members or anything. She's older. She's in her late 50s. And she said that she didn't speak any Spanish, so she uses her phone as a translator. And all she did was go down, like, to Home Depot and pick up a couple of guys. And then all of a sudden, she just kind of had this good this good moment with them where they were out in the backyard cleaning her yard, and she took them water, and they started, like, being able to talk without the translator but making jokes and stuff like that. So one thing led to another. This is, like, 2-3 months. One thing led to another. She ended up giving them her basement to stay in, and there's a back door and stuff, so it's not together. And they have been not only helping her with the things that she needs done around her house, but they also have – actually were able to get jobs because they have somewhere where they were able to say, I have an address, and then they have, like, these job offers.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's incredible.
If you have an address, it's a lot easier to get a job.
Definitely, yes. And, I mean, how can you, you know, show up to work? If you're staying in a tent and you have a job offer, it's really hard to clean yourself up to go to a job interview, you know, and... So things like that, which we kind of helped with that because we gave them products that could help them. But it's going to happen again. We're going to get another wave. Here in about 2 weeks, we're going to get a wave of them being released from these hotels.
So this is middle of March. Mm-hmm. Colorado can still get a lot of snow.
Yes.
So a lot of these people are going to be out
on
the street.
You
got connected with a friend of mine, a pastor who of another church. And I saw the email that he wrote to his church, and it was very interesting. I don't know if you ever seen that email.
I didn't see it. I'd love to.
He said, you know, I know that we, a lot of us, disagree with all of this politically on a political level, you know, mm-hmm. but these people are here, they're suffering, we need to help them out.
Oh, nice.
And then you ended up meeting with them.
Yes.
And how did that whole thing go?
On Sunday.
Because their church is kind of very conservative, you know.
Very, yes.
And very politically leaning conservative, you know. So they don't like the idea of a lot of these people coming across the border and so on. But he said, you know, the fact is these people are here and they need help.
Yeah.
So you met with them, and how did that go?
It was awesome. Pastor Jay, he sat down with me and just told me what his thought and process was on helping with the suitcase thing. And so he had a bunch of suitcases just sitting around, and I was looking, and I was like, where are you taking them? And he actually started with the conversation with people that I knew through those groups that I had mentioned. And so Family Friends Church they have a lot of stuff that you could go there, pick up, but the migrants can't get there. They don't have cars, or some of them don't know how to take the bus. So Pastor Jay was going to take them there, so when they did get a chance to go get them, they could get them. I asked him, do you mind if we take them to them now directly? And he was like, oh, I didn't know you had a direct contact, you know. And I was like, well, I don't want to surprise you, but they are in tents. They're not in the hotels. They're in the tents. These people need, they're going to get swept soon because the Elitch Garden is going to open. And they're going to have something to put everything I just gave them in. And so he's like, okay, we'll do that. He went down with me, him and his wife, lovely woman. Him and his wife went down with me, got to know them. We had about an hour or 2 hours almost conversation with everybody that was there. And I just translated with them. It was fun. It was, they're very jokative. The migrants are very jokative.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I sound like I know a lot of Spanish when I speak. And so they were joking about my little accent and stuff, and the pastor thought I can tell them anything, and I was like, okay, pull out your phone. So it was fun, and then we got to see, like, how they are in a community. It's nothing like our homeless, how it's one for all and none.
Yeah. No, they help each other.
Yeah, so
they cook food together. And,
yes, yeah. Yes, and so there's tents that are there, and they have one tent that holds the food, one tent that holds the clothes, one tent that holds other products. And then the rest of the tents are where they sleep and live in. And then they have one kitchen, and so whenever I take them food, they're like, don't separate it. I took a box of rice, and I handed one by one, and they said, no, don't separate it. We eat together.
Amen.
And I was like, that's a beautiful thing.
Eloisa, our time together is coming to an end. We'll have to do this again, but we did provide, as a matter of fact, this church provided tents, we provided propane tanks, we provided burners, all kinds of things, and we're going to continue working with it. Thank you for helping these people.
Oh, thank you. We all do it together. It's a community effort, unity.
If anybody wants to find out more, look up our webpage, Arvada Adventist Church in Arvada, Colorado. God bless you. Talk to you later.
Be sure to tune in next time for another unique perspective on your whole person health with your host, Dr. G. And don't forget to share the goodness with friends and family and visit our website at fitpositiveconfident.tv and follow Dr. G on Twitter at Dr. G Fitness. God bless and stay healthy.